Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well."
Well, thank you, Richard and Alison, for helping us in our prayers and also for sharing God's word as well today. And if you've got your Bibles, do keep them open as we're going to explore this passage as we conclude our series called Live Well. My name's Tim Hancock, one of the leaders here at Newcastle Baptist Church, and it is great to be able to connect with you again today. Now, we're going to share communion a little bit later on, so if you need to go and just make sure you've got everything ready, then please do that now. And as we come towards the end of our service, we'll be breaking bread together and drinking together as a way of thanking God for his goodness towards us. As I said, we're on our final week of our Live Well series, and this has come off the back of our motto text for 2021, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, which says, "Live a life that is worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." And this verse is going to take us through the whole of this year as we explore what it looks like in different ways to live a worthy life and to please God in every way. But as a way of starting our year, we've been unpacking these few verses because Paul gives us 4 distinct steps to help us to see what it looks like to live a worthy life. And so we've looked over these weeks about bearing good fruit in every good work. We've looked at growing in the knowledge of God. We've looked at what it means to be strengthened with all power as well. And today we're coming to the final step of that fourfold expression of Paul's, to give joyful thanks. Now, Paul makes it clear through the letter to the Colossians, and if you've had a chance to read it, you'll see that he brings up these 4 things a second time in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 as well. And it is quite intriguing as to why he's making an emphasis on these. If you want to turn to Colossians 2 and verses 6 and 7, you'll see there that he talks about being rooted, so bearing good fruit. He talks about being built up, growing. He talks about being strengthened, and he talks again about overflowing with thankfulness. It seems like Paul has got a very distinct plan for this letter to the Colossians. Now, I'm not sure whether they had a particular problem with thankfulness, but also if you've read through these 4 chapters of this letter, you'll see that Paul talks about being thankful many, many times, not only in chapter 1, verse 12, not only in chapter 2, verse 7, but also in chapter 3, verse 15, he says about being thankful. In verse 16, he says about singing with gratitude in our hearts. In chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "Give thanks to God the Father." And in chapter 4, verse 2, he says, "Be watchful and thankful." So I think this is a really good part of what it looks like to live a worthy life, to give joyful thanks. Now, maybe it seems a bit tough to be giving thanks during this particular time. And that is part of the challenge, isn't it? For followers of Jesus to continue to give joyful thanks, to overflow with thankfulness when not everything is going as we want it to. But I think what Paul is helping us to understand is that thankfulness isn't as a result of what's happening around us. It's an attitude of the heart. That Paul says that out of our heart is going to flow this thankfulness, no matter what, even dare we say, despite what is going on. Now, this isn't just put a smile on your face and stand up tall and stiff upper lip and get through it. No. I think Paul is saying, you know, there's a reality of the tough things that are happening. But right in the center is a realization that God has done something even greater for us, that His grace is enough to cause us to overflow with thankfulness. So I just want to explore that. How can we be a thankful people, a thankful person? How can we give joyful thanks? How can we overflow with thankfulness all the time? And in that passage in Luke that Alison read to us, I think this response of this one leper actually gives us some really good clues as to how we go on giving joyful thanks. Here is this leper who comes back to Jesus, the source of his thankfulness, falls at Jesus' feet and praises God. And I want to just look at that little story to help us maybe to put in some really good steps so that we can give joyful thanks and we can live this worthy life. If you've got that Luke passage open, you'll see that 9 of them were cleansed, but 1 of them was healed. And Jesus says, for that one, his faith had made him well. Just like the woman who touched the edge of the cloak that Jesus was wearing and she was healed. Just like blind Bartimaeus. Just like the woman who anointed Jesus' feet with her tears. Those people, those who give joyful thanks, those who come back to the source of that thankfulness, realize they've been rescued, they've been redeemed, they've been renewed, and they've been restored. And out of that realization comes this thankfulness that overflows, no matter what else is going on, because our thankfulness is a result of God's grace towards us. So you'd expect me to have 3 things this morning, and you're absolutely right. I've got 3 steps to help us give joyful thanks. So the first one is, remember, every good gift that I have comes from God. Every good thing I have comes from God. That's worth remembering. These 12 months have been a test, and we've got a few more weeks coming. We've lost so much, haven't we? We've lost our freedom, not only to be outside, but also to worship. We've lost some relationships that were strong face-to-face, but we haven't maintained. We've lost going to school and seeing our friends and our colleagues. The normal has gone. Our community has changed. Jobs have been under pressure. Holidays have been cancelled. Finances have taken a hit for some. Plans have been disrupted. So how are we going to be thankful? Because when I look at the Psalms, and I know many of you will have plowed into the Psalms during this time, we see that pain and praise rub shoulders with each other in every one of those Psalms. That God's love and his faithfulness shout out in the middle of loss and failure. The writer of the Psalms expresses our feelings because he never forgets to praise God. He remembers that every good thing he has comes from God. Psalm 103, verse 2, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Remember, every good thing I have comes from God, and that results in joyful thanks to the giver himself. This may not put a smile on your face because that's just a big step, but it shapes our hearts when we understand that God is the giver of good gifts. Don't let what is happening to you affect what you believe about God. You can still trust him and you can still give him thanks. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. No matter what is shifting around us, he does not change. Remember, every good gift comes from him. Lament for what is happening, of course. Let's join in that pain. Lament over our own past and the situation we find ourselves in, but let that lead us to confession and thanksgiving. The one leper, he remembered where his thanks should be directed. Luke says in verse 15, he came back praising God. He remembered that every good gift comes from God, and he came back remember that, won't you, as we strive to give joyful thanks. Secondly, resolve. What I want will not rob me of what I have. What I want will not rob me of what I have. That's a resolution to make. Now today, I want to make a confession to you today. And I come quite broken about the confession I want to make to you today. Because this week, I discovered that I have 23 pairs of footwear. I couldn't believe it. When I counted up how many pieces of footwear I have 23. Now, I don't even like shoes. I don't feel I'm addicted to buying shoes, but I've got 23 different pairs of footwear. I've got shoes for walking. I've got beachwear, flip-flops, backdoor pair. I've got a gardening pair of shoes. I've got Wellingtons. I've got slippers. I've got 23 pairs of shoes. Now, I don't know whether that's average. Only you'll be able to tell me that, because after the service, not now, please. After the service, I want you to go and count how many pairs of shoes you've got. Now, I know this will be the theme of the sermon that you'll remember, but I hope you'll also get the point of this as well. I think the reason why I've got 23 pairs of shoes is that I just don't throw any away. I can't. I like to keep them, so that's my excuse. But do you know what? As we look around our lives, look around our home, look around what we have, my guess is that most of us have enough of most things. I mean, how many pairs of shoes do you need, to be honest? I don't know. Somebody will tell me. But the trouble is, when we look around and we've got enough, we always think we could just do with a little bit more. Ask anybody whether they've got enough, and they'll say, well, just one more. Do you earn enough money? Well, I'd just like to earn a bit more. Have you got enough pairs of shoes? Well, maybe just one more pair would be amazing. And this is the challenge for us. Whether we've been conditioned by our society or whether the advertisers have one. I want you to know, to resolve, that what I want will not rob me from what I have. See, we can have joyful thanks as long as we don't allow what we haven't got to infiltrate into our mind, into our hearts. Paul says in verse 12 of Philippians 4, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. I've got enough. Whether I've got one pair of shoes or 23 or maybe more, I've learned what it is to know that I have enough, and I can be thankful for that. Let gratitude turn whatever we have into enough. That's where thankfulness works at its best. When it starts from a place of confession, Lord, I have enough. Thank you for what I have. And for everyone who has acknowledged their sin, that their life falls short of the glory of God, who has turned away from that sin in an act of repentance and has received forgiveness, I give you my life. Thankfulness results from the fact that we have forgiveness and grace enough. I'm thankful. Whatever you have or don't have, whatever else is happening or not happening, whatever prayers you've had answered or still waiting to have answered in the way that you want them to be answered, whatever is happening to us or people around us, it doesn't seem fair and we've got a lot of questions, but thankfulness can flow in spite of our circumstances, because our circumstances do not control our confidence in the cross because of Jesus. The leper, in verse 16 of our reading, he threw himself at Jesus' feet. He threw himself at Jesus' feet. I've got enough. Thank you. I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. And finally, well, remember, resolve, but finally, respond. I will turn every blessing I have into praise. Don't deny your reality. Just change your perspective. You know, one thing I have sort of tried to do over my whole life is improve my cars as they've gone along. Now, again, I'm not really bothered about cars, as you can tell from the one I own now. But I've always wanted one more thing from my car when I change it. So when I had my first car, what I wanted on my second car was intermittent wipers because my first car didn't have it. And that bothered me. And then in my third car, I wanted a cassette player in the car. I know most of you don't know what cassettes are, but in my second car, I fitted my own cassette player. Amazing. So my third car, I wanted it. So I got that. I had intermittent wipers and a cassette player. I mean, that was just the height of luxury in those days. And every car has had one extra thing. There was one car I had, the car before this one. It had a CD player in it. Now, that was amazing. I'm not sure it was the first CD player I had in, but anyway. And I'd had the car for about 2 years, and I was cleaning it, and I was cleaning the footwell, and I looked underneath the front seat, the passenger seat, and underneath the passenger seat was a box, a black box, and I didn't know what it was. And I sort of fiddled around, and eventually the front of the box opened up, and it revealed a multi-CD changer. So underneath the passenger seat for 2 years, without me knowing it, had sat a little device where I could put 6 CDs in it, and it would change them regularly as I was listening to it. I hadn't even seen it. I hadn't realized the blessing that was sat there in that car all along, 2 years, and it wasn't till I got on my knees and peered under the chair that I actually saw that it had been there all the time. You know, sometimes we've just got to change our perspective to find what God has already given us. Perhaps we have to get on our knees and say, God, thank you for what I'm discovering about you. I will turn every blessing into praise. And as I discover more blessings from God, then I will praise him and overflow with thankfulness even more. See, the leper in chapter 17, verse 14, was cleansed. They were all cleansed. They were made ceremonially clean. They could now go to town instead of staying outside it. They could now go and see a priest without the priest becoming ceremonially unclean. They could stop keeping people at a distance. They could stop wearing their face coverings, which they would have had to have done, because now they were cleansed. They could re-enter society. But the one who came back, who realized that where the blessing had come from, verse 15 of chapter 17 in Luke says that he was healed. They were all cleansed, but he was healed. He was cleansed from leprosy, but now he was included and welcomed. He was healed. Something had happened to him that set him free. Salvation, freedom, wholeness. Life itself happened to him, and because he recognized it, he turned that blessing into praise of God. Paul, in Colossians 1, verse 12 and 13, he gives us a reason for thankfulness. We are qualified to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, rescued from the dominion of darkness, brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves, redemption, forgiveness of sins. Wow, every blessing I have, I'm going to turn it back to praise. I will praise you as long as I live, Psalm 63 says. And we join in that praise because of God's grace and the blessings that result from a life that is lived following him. There are many reasons to thank God this morning. Many as a result of his grace towards us. Grace-filled gratitude, Paul's prescription for living well, a life that pleases the Lord. I wonder if today you will get to that point of overflowing with thankfulness. Many of us are thankful, but to overflow with it when we realize what he has done for us. Grace-filled gratitude. The leper, in verse 16, it says, he thanked him. He responded to Jesus. He thanked the source of life itself. I will turn every blessing into praise. You know, Paul has given us a great prescription for living well. I hope that you'll put it into practice, and that your life will continue to grow, to become like him, to live a life that pleases the Lord, as you bear fruit in everything you do, as you grow in the knowledge of God, as you're strengthened with all power, and as you give joyful thanks. Let your life be revolutionized by the saving grace of God because of Jesus. Remember, resolve, and respond. May our lives become a glowing example of people whose lives are worthy of the Lord today and every day.